back in the 1970s, there was a film that came out based on the book called Love Story. And I remember the trailer for that movie included a scene in which Ryan O'Neill would say, "Love means never having to say I'm sorry." How many people believe that? Show of hands. One, two, three. Three people believe that. I want to suggest to you that true love really does mean never having to say I'm sorry. And the only evidence that I have to go along with that statement and to back up that statement is the question, when has God ever had to apologize to us? True love really does mean never having to say, I'm sorry. But for us, it's too late. It's too late because we are in the broken world. But it's never too late for us to turn that around. It's never too late for us to begin anew. And this year of mercy is the perfect opportunity for us to visit that for ourselves. But how do we go about living a life committed to love where we will never have to say, I'm sorry? We could always listen to what Paul has to share with us about patience and kindness and not pomposity and rudeness. But even in Paul's letter, he speaks to not brooding over injury. And so if we adopt this love that God calls each one of us to live, even in the midst of injury, we will not need to hear, I'm sorry. We will be empowered to forgive. To forgive someone does not need someone to apologize to us. We can forgive without someone apologizing to us. We can forgive someone who isn't even sorry for her harming us. We have that power. And that power comes from the love that Paul described, from the love that God is. And it doesn't take long. It could happen at the flip of a switch for us to go from loving to fearful. And that's exactly what happened to the people in the synagogue when Jesus was speaking to them. Last week's passage, I made the great move of getting out of town before the snow came. But for many of you, perhaps, you didn't even get an opportunity to come into church because of the blizzard. But in last week's gospel passage, we heard Jesus go to the front of the synagogue and proclaim the word of God from Isaiah. He spoke the words of Isaiah that the Spirit of God is upon me. And in speaking to that and sharing his understanding of what that passage meant, made people feel amazed. But then they began to question, hold on for a minute. Isn't this guy the son of some carpenter? How does he know all these things? And then Jesus begins to challenge them. Jesus begins to challenge the labels by which those people live. And I want to suggest to you that it's the labels by which we live that prevent us from loving perfectly. The boxes that we put people into, the boxes that we put ourselves into, prevent us from living the love that God calls each one of us to live. And so for us, I think the most important identity for us to have is the identity of a child of God.
That's exactly what Jesus did in the moment. And if we allow ourselves to accept the reality that each one of us was loved and anointed in God, in the womb of our mothers, loved into being by God, if we're capable of believing that and truly believing that and then living that way, what a difference we could make in the world. I want to ask you all to please stand up. Repeat after me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because He has anointed me. To bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives. And recovery of sight to the blind. To let the oppressed go free. And to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. Please be seated. Today, this scripture passage has been fulfilled.